Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the grace, for that mercy that we often take for granted until we are not so well. Teach us how to face life with all its challenges, including that of old age. We pray that you will help us to draw much encouragement and blessing as we read Psalm 71 this morning. Grant us your grace and your blessing and wisdom to fathom all the things that we need to. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we look at Psalm 71 and we take a look at two verses which sort of help us to catch a glimpse of what this psalm is all about, right? So we are going to take a look at this, and it's a fairly long psalm, so we're going to take it part by part. Okay, here we go. So 8 verses 9 and 18, do not cast me off in the time of old age. This is to give you a reference for this whole psalm, right? It is a prayer of concern for a person of older age. I think this is something we all don't want to take for granted. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Now, that is an obvious situation when my strength fails. But then, of course, it says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. And his prayer was, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So when we look at older age, we have a few characteristics. Part of it, physical. For example, when we are gray-headed. So no matter how you try, unless you want to dye your hair, that kind of hair is going to be there all the time. Have I dyed my hair? No. I don't plan to, right? Save money on that part of it. But seriously, but it's one part of it on this matter here. It's a reality. We are going to become gray-headed, right? It's something that we is a matter of when, not if, and we don't even know how it works, but it's there. Okay, it's a sign of old age. And then that part of it is when strength fails. I mean, that is a reality, right? So sometimes you just think in terms of how that works. And we think that strength is just, you know, we don't think very much of strength. We just think it's normal. The problem is, what is normal? So when we look at this whole idea of strength and supposedly normal, you begin to realize that you're not as strong as you imagine. Right? So when Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it does not tell you that you're going to have forever strength. But the reality of it all is that it's going to be there. Right? And this week is what put to a test. I had to skip dinner all the nights. So I've not had dinner for the last, 5 nights. Well, I usually don't have dinners very much anyway. So, but that was a big problem. So there was also very, very, very bland food you can eat just in case anything upsets the stomach, right? But you begin to realize that physical strength is not something that you can rely on. When you're younger, a couple of times, and then you're back to normal, not when you are growing older. And that is a reality, right? So we don't know who the writer is, but it could have been David, it could be anybody else, we just don't know, right? But if you read 1 Kings 1, you begin to realize that David came a time in his old age when he said he found no strength. That's one. Two, he was always cold. And as you grow older, you begin to realize, suddenly you feel colder, rather than, you may use, like the cold once upon a time when you are young. I still remember when I was pretty young, and it was winter, and it was 0 degrees, in Indiana. So I walked to the bank and guess what? I wasn't even wearing a sweater. And the people asked me, are you all right? I said, yeah, sure. So aren't you feeling cold? No. Not today. Not today. So that's your strength, the whole thing. So the reality of it is strength. Now, the fear that is there, fear of being literally cast off or cast out or forsaken, it's very real. Right? We all think that our children will look after us. We imagine. They are so caught up with themselves, they got no time for you. That's a reality. Right? So short of building a Bethany community, which I've been asked so many times, I said, it's just really, 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 real big challenge. How do you build an infrastructure like that? But the idea of old age is, to many people, quite frightening. Right? So, I mean, that's the reality as you face old age. Who is really going to care for you, look after you? And you, even if you are not cast off, you feel cast off. You see the problem? And so his greatest fear was, Lord, now I am not so young anymore. I'm not serving you anymore. I feel cast off. And that is a very big challenge. This is important for us to consider. This was actually inspired many years ago when I was living in the U.S. for a couple of years. And I came to a missionary home. So I said, wow, there's a lot of older people. He said, yeah. This was a setup by the church, the group of churches there. It's called the Brethren Church. And they had a facility for all the missionaries who served in Africa for 35 years and more. And when they come back home, they absolutely cannot function outside their thought and their life pattern in Africa. So there was no way they can afford to get anything done. There was no way they can afford life in any way. And so they actually built a block of flats for them, and the older people all had little bit of units to themselves. Very, very simple, single room, a little bit of a kitchenette, a little bit of a sitting area, and then downstairs is where they can have their dining hall, and they can have a prayer meeting there downstairs, and so on. So that was, I was very struck by that, because nobody provides for, you look at all the facilities, right? So when people retire, they are given a bit of money and things like that. We have no such facilities. We don't have such means. We don't have anything like that. We end up with literally, okay, if you retire, that's it. You're on your own. And it can be quite harsh. And it can be a very, very tough reality. And it's something that we all need to think about very, very carefully. Right? But this is all part and parcel of serving the Lord anyway. Right? The challenge is to exercise the faith and the trust in the Lord somewhere, somehow. But this is one psalm that became very real, very pertinent, and this is what happens when we are older. Right? But let's take a look a little bit at old age for a while so that we can catch a glimpse of what old age is all about. This is found in Ecclesiastes. Let's look at Ecclesiastes just to... After the book of Psalms, you have the Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes after that. Just a few pages, right? So chapter 12, we read, when you are young in the days of your youth, it is good to remember the Lord, your Creator, right? Before the difficult days come. Old age is described as difficult days. Right? Your years draw near. And then you say, I have no pleasure in them. You find as you grow older, you don't take pleasure in many things. This, not interested. That, not interested. This one, not interested. You end up losing pleasure in everything you look around you. And that is a big problem. Number one. Number two, when the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Right? Now, this is important. When we talk about light, right? And you can still see fairly well. This is all in figurative language. All right? And then the clouds do not return after the rain. Literally, you don't feel so refreshed so easily anymore. You know, the rains always bring a sense of refreshing, it's a sense of refreshing to you. Then after a while, not really. Nothing seems to be working. You're just tired and listless, and you just feel you don't know what to do yourself. Literally, in Chinese, it's like tangxi. We just almost wait to die. And that's a terrible way to live. And that is something that we need to think about. Okay. In a day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, that's a problem. What is that problem? The problem is that their legs are not so strong. The keepers, the skeleton, the skeletal structure of the body, not so strong. So after a while, you go to the hospital. The moment you go for any procedure, they strap a thing that says, fall precaution. I was a bit stunned when I had that procedure done. And then straight they say, what's this? It says, sorry, sir, yeah, they sort of apologize, but just in case you fall down. But I'm not going to fall down. Yes, well, just bear with us. You see, no longer as strong as you imagine. And there we go. And the grinders cease because they are few. The grinders are our teeth. Right? And they cease eating because they are so few left to grind anything. Right? Now, this is something that we want to look at. And after a while, you begin to realize as you grow older, there's a lot of root canal job to be done. All right? Well, I thought you'd get it done. Oh, there's another one. Over the years, it's going to go that way. And those that look through the windows grow dim. Look at eyes. What bothers me is that I cannot see things without bright light. And then if the print gets small, I used to read small print, no problem whatsoever. Now, not so. See, this is what the scriptures are warning us. All right. When the doors are shut in the street, the sound of grinding is low. When one rises at the sound of a bird, the slightest sound. That's why sometimes, thank God, cannot hear so well or so good, because otherwise, you can. Well, what is that noise? And I sometimes pity the cat because his noise is so sensitive to the noise. He's just up there. When you wake up in the morning, he's there already because, he hears a bit of noise, and that's what it is, right? And then all the daughter music are brought low. Literally, your ears, you cannot hear as well as you would like to imagine. Then also, we suddenly are afraid of height. You realize this? Last time, you just climb up a ladder. Now, think twice. Think three times, because climbing up a ladder, you can end up with a serious fall. All you need is a dizzy moment, and you're gone. And that can happen. Right? So then we are afraid of height. We're all afraid of the terrors in the way. Well, that happens. Right? Suddenly you're afraid of, you don't know what's up there. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know how. And you have to overcome that fear somewhere, somehow. Right now, the biggest paranoia right now to me is this COVID-19 problem. All right, slightest thing, maybe we have to test, and then maybe it's a COVID problem. And after a while, it's COVID everything. You just have to watch out for the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a broad burden, desire falls, and that's it. And you'll find that a lot of these things here, right? You might take delight in a way. Almond tree blossoms. It's just the starting of it all, right? It used to be, wow, this is a beginning of spring kind of thing. It's no more there. You look at a grasshopper is a burden. How is the grasshopper better? Just in case it jumps on you, how? And then you, all kinds of terrors along the way will come and desire falls. The idea is that you're no longer interested in a lot of things. Not interested in food, not interested in, just not interested. The desire for all of these things just gone. And then man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. And then the dust will return to the earth as it was. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. Well, that is a description of old age and death. Well, when you are younger, this is not so real. But when you are older, you cannot escape the reality of it all. And this person, this writer, describes the whole process from the head down to, literally the last breath of life. And you realize that that is so true. And so, Ecclesiastes 12, from time to time, you ask the Lord, what should I do with my life? But Psalm 71 tells us these are the problems that I face. All right? One, the problem with the writer here is that the hand of the wicked, the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man is still there. You please do not imagine that enemies are going to be kinder now you're older. That's not true. And then you take a look at people who attack you. They don't care how old you are. They have no regard, no respect for your age. They're going to attack you anyway, at any time. That is a reality. And so this troubled him for a little bit. My enemies speak against me. Those who lie in wait for me, they take counsel together and they say to themselves, God has forsaken him. Pursue, take him. There is none to deliver him. And so he prays that they be confounded and consumed, who are the adversaries of his life, who seek his hurt. Can we pray against them? Answer, yes. Right? Now, there's something that we need to understand and appreciate. The hand of enemies, the hand of the wicked, the hand of the unrighteous, the hand of the cruel person, they won't stop because you are old. That's a reality of life. The problems will continue. Even as you grow older physically, will there be people who will affect you and slay you if they can? Answer, yes. And so we need to learn how to cope with all of these things here. And this is where we learn this word called trust. Right? And the word trust is something we often tell ourselves, I've learned it already. Well, it takes years. How long does it take to build trust? Literally a lifetime. Right? So the psalmist begins, right from the beginning, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Right? So what was it that he was learning to work on? Deliver me in your righteousness, cause me to escape, incline your ear to me, save me. Right? And then he talks about how the Lord has to be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. Right? So this is where the Lord is refuge, the Lord is rock, the Lord is fortress, and he prays for deliverance. The key word is in verse 5, you are my hope, you are my trust from my youth. Now, this is something that takes a long, long time to understand. When do we build trust? And you'll find that, humanly speaking, most of us don't trust people easily. Let's face it. We don't trust people's judgment. We don't trust even family members. We don't trust people generally. That's a reality. And because of that, we find it very hard to trust God too. It's a natural carry on over. Okay, I don't trust. Now, you must put my trust in the Lord. Come. Well, years ago, I went to a seminar. And this was, they call it group dynamics. It was a new concept. And they were talking about how people trust each other. And so one of the experiments, one of the tests was you have a partner and you are told, close your eyes and fall down, your partner will catch you. I couldn't do it. One, will I close my eyes to a stranger? No. Two, okay, I see your face, you've been with me the whole week, can I trust you now? Catch me? No. I can't. And I realized at that stage, at that age, I don't really trust. Deep down, we don't know how to trust. Right? So you look at it, we all trust in our doctors. We trust in the medicine. We trust in care, health care. And well and good. But where is the trust in God, actually? It's not as easy. This is why we all say, well, I trust in God old age. And then we have a but. I still have my CPF, you know. That's how we hold back. But now, let's say the CPF is all gone now. So what do we have? Nothing. Seriously. And that is a very grim, grave reality. And that is a big debate all the time. How do we trust? So we don't trust the government, we don't trust companies, we don't trust people. You know, after you serve there all your life, they cut you off, they say, we're going to downsize, and then say, okay, you're out. That is a reality of life today. How do we trust? And it's not easy. The enemies are all around. Age is catching up. You don't have as many friends. All your old friends who have supporting you, they've all died or gone away somewhere else. And you've got hardly anybody else to fall back on. And you only have God. So what do you have? And you'll find that we are not able to trust as much as we think. This is why the prayer to God is the way it is. He says, oh Lord, I put my trust. Right? But then he qualifies it, let me never be ashamed. You see, you're just trying to tell the Lord, okay, if I trust you, can you please make sure that I don't end up shamed? My trust may be in vain, in other words. You see, that's the kind of so-called trust that we think we have, but we don't have. That is a very, very big problem. And so we pray, Lord, you deliver me, you cause me to escape, you please incline your ear, to you please save me. What do you think this is? You think this is trust? He's struggling with trust. He's trying to tell the Lord, you must do one of these things. Do one, deliver me, two, cause me to escape, please incline your ear, save me. He's already said it once. You don't have to spell out to God what to do. But this is his struggle with trust. Can you see this whole problem here? And I think all of us struggle with trust. If the prayers are not forthcoming, I mean, that's what it is. So one of the things that I tried to fall back when I was quite ill last week and was had a diarrhea problem, that I had no medicine to deal with. And I said, what should I do? Right? So I still remember one of the questions at the family camp was this question of, is it appropriate to pray to God even when you are in a toilet? So my reply was, look, this is a necessity. This is not your choice. So can you pray? Yes. You don't have to say, please, God, please don't look. You don't have to worry about things like that. But you see, the fear, the lack of knowledge, the lack of trust is very, very evident. Can you see that? He's struggling with trust. And I think if we are honest, we all struggle with trust. Right? When we grow older, we struggle with trust. What do we do next? How do we cope next? And this is always a big problem. Right. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continuously. Right? Not that the Lord is not. He's always been there as a strong refuge. The problem is that we are not there. And he wants, can I resort there, all the time, continually? Can I be there? Can I go there? I thought this was an interesting thing. The place that we went to is called a resort. It's up in a mountain somewhere, right? Far, far away from the capital, but 5 hours away from the capital, Hanoi. So, it's a far away place. That's a very, very great distance. And, being a resort, it's Attap House. We look at Attap House, but of course, Attap House with all the modern facilities and everything. But, you just look at it. This is, in the 1950s, Singapore houses were all Attap Houses. And unless you live in a very nice house called Ang Mo Thu. So if you don't have Ang Mo Thu, you have Attap House, and it's sort of normal. And so there's a chicken farm around there, you catch your fish in the pond. This is like kampung all the way through, right? But very expensive kampung. But there it is. So it's going back. Can I resort here continually? Right? But this is basically what he's saying. And he's struggling. You have given me commandment to save me. The idea is, why are you not saving me? You see the problem over here? He's really struggling. So amidst all these words, when you talk about the Lord is strong refuge, the Lord is his his rock, his fortress, you are actually seeing tremendous struggle within the psalmist. And that is what we are. And so he finally ends up with, you are my hope. And it's not an easy thing to look at. Right? So how hard it is. I just received an email from somebody this morning. And so one of the church members said, my father passed away last night. And he says, towards the end, we tried to share with him the gospel. And, he even listened to some of the Mandarin messages. But he couldn't say yes. He just listened politely, and he was struggling, and then he passed away. Well, that can happen. So finding hope in God, finding God as a refuge, finding God as a rock and a fortress is not as easy as you imagine. Right? People would rather trust in what they know. I'll trust in the doctor, I'll trust in this medicine, I'll trust in this, I'll trust in that, until you are literally where you are, you get nowhere else to go. There are no doctors in the resort area. There's no medicine that is there. And the food they cook for you, you don't trust anymore very much because I cannot eat this, cannot eat that, nothing. So no chili stuff, nothing. So the Vietnamese pho is Teochew Kway Teow. It's basically what it is. It's as Teochew as you can get. It's as Kway Teow as you can get. And you have it every day. That's it. So what do you have in the morning? Teochew Kway Teow. But, what do you have the next morning? Teochew Kway Teow. Resort continually, right? Because you can't eat anything else. This one cannot eat, this one cannot eat, this one cannot eat. This nothing you can eat. All the greens, hey, thank you, no very much. Vegetables, salads, no thank you. You just don't trust anything anybody else, right? So that is, apart from that. You just learn how to trust the Lord for all things. So this trusting is not as easy and straightforward as you imagine. So I call it part one. Okay? Now, then we go on to the next part of it, that how do we do this? All right? So you take a look at this learning how to trust in God, and you begin to pray very much. Right? So the struggles are there. The struggle is a prayer to be heard. And we don't take this for granted. Right? I mean, Whaley wrote during the week and talked about her brother, if you don't mind my sharing this. He has a not a very common illness. right? It's a paraganglioma problem. And it's something that I had to read about to understand it. Okay. Now, this is something that can grow. It's a tumor that grows. And then suddenly, he was just burning up. And so literally, the doctors will have to put him in induced coma situation to bring the temperature down so low. And then for the next 48 hours, you don't know whether you live or you die. But first, we deal with the problem. What can you do? You're far away. And all you have is this whole idea of what prayer really is. Right? So this is where we learn to trust. When there is literally nothing else, no one else to fall back on. That's about the only time we trust. When all the things that we have are all cut off. No doctors in sight. Not that you trust. You don't see pharmacies around the place. Certainly not in the little kampong area. I mean, you don't have that at all, right? So of course, if you are healthy, you can enjoy the little food that they will give you. But when you are really, really unwell, like Ecclesiastes, there's no pleasure in any of these things. You're just worn out, and this is what it's all about. And age makes you learn how to realize, I need to learn how to trust the Lord. Right? Trust in what area? Let's take a look at this very, very much. Right? Sometimes when you are caught in a situation where you have literally nothing to resort to, you got no fallback plan, there is no plan B. Literally, when there's no plan B, maybe plan T will start, trust. But we all struggle with trust, let's face it. All right? Every time we recover from something, thank God, that's it. But you know what? We'll go back to our old ways very quickly. We will always go back to our old ways. The question is whether we can get out of it. And this is something that we need to look at. How do you find the idea of a strong refuge in God anyway? Now, what is a refuge? Right? Now, this is something that we need to think about. What is a refuge? A physical resort is like a place of refuge. It's meant to be away from everybody and etc. You imagine mountaintop means cool. It's not cool, it's hot. So things don't go right that way, right? So you just think it's very far away from everybody and it's healthier. Not really, seriously. Hanoi, about 9 million people, 7.5 million motorbikes. That's more motorbikes than we have human beings in Singapore. Now, you may say, motorbike, the fumes are less. No, there is not less. It's not great either. Right? So when you learn to trust the Lord, you really come down. I think this was a lesson that I had to learn all over again. I've got to trust the Lord for whatever I can do right now. So I would turn to the Lord refuge, right? When you have to go to the toilet 7 times a day. And you begin to realize nothing you take will go down. Right? So you have to drink a lot and just because to make sure that you don't dehydrate so badly. And it's just about all you can do. Right? So I cannot take bananas because of high potassium problem. So cannot take a lot of fruit because of potassium problem. So that's one out. So cannot eat a lot of chili stuff, cannot eat anything that is curry, anything milky. So that's out because, my gastro person says, don't touch any of those things here. You have an ulcer. Make sure that you don't take anything hot or chili or anything like that. So what else have you got left? Right? But seriously, you've got nothing else back left. And so sometimes the Lord has to allow you to go through all of that and say, okay, now I've got a work to do. I need to prepare for the battle camp messages. I've got to find the time for that. I've got to help the Kenyan brethren. We're going to do that. What else can we do? We must do all a lot of these things here. There's no other way. Well, thank God for that trust in God becomes very much more real, and the Lord's grace and mercy was given, and then you are able to do whatever you can, and you come back home and say, okay, let's trust the Lord. So the word trust is not an easy thing to. So the challenge is to find trust in God being a strong refuge. Right? Now, a refuge is one thing. The next challenge is to find God as a rock and as a fortress. They're similar, but they're not the same. Right? So for example, let's say you look into the Lord as a refuge. You feel safe, but you're not strong. They're not the same. I may feel safe, but I may not be as strong. The question is, how can I find strength somehow? So that the Lord, you can say, this is my rock and I am able to do this. Right? And this is what, and then the Lord is my fortress. And this is something that has got to be real when there is nothing else to fall back on. And then you have, so what do you do when you go through all of that? Right? Now, this is something that we need to think about. So Psalm 71 places us into a situation when we are older and we have what can we do to cultivate this trust, to cultivate this ability to say, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. It's not just safety in mind. You actually feed on the Lord as a rock, fortress, refuge, strength until you find the strength you need. Well, this is what I do. I want to share this with you. What I do is I memorize the Lord's word. Although they could be very simple Bible verses. But I don't just memorize in terms of memory work. That is not a problem in itself. At least not yet. Right? Now, I think many of us struggle with the idea of how do I memorize God's word? You know, very complex text, then are you very hard to remember. And then after a while, we give up. Don't. This is how I find the Lord as my refuge. That's a very, very personal, very practical. I come to the Lord's word. Okay? You know, people always take a break, take a rest, and things like that. That never happens. Because the work of the Lord never ceases. Right? I still have to answer on average 40 emails every day. No matter, I have never had a time when, okay, I can just be free from, doesn't work. And then you have to remember, this is all part of it. Now, of course, nobody is sick. Nobody knows you are sick. So they assume that you're all right. Right? Nobody, when people have they just feel that they want to write and that's it. And they write. They don't care how you actually feel. Right? They really don't even ask, are you all right? But you mustn't expect that. So you learn how to trust the Lord and say, Lord, this is all part and parcel of living for you and serving you. So you sort of accept that it's going to happen. You're not going to be free from all of these challenges. All this is something you learn to accept. But it's all part of understanding. It has to do with the mind. Right? If your mind cannot accept it and you resent it, you're not going to get any better. So you learn to accept it. That's the first part. But it doesn't give you strength yet. So you tell the Lord, Lord, I am going to enter into the Lord's life. Right? So you literally learn to identify with the Lord. That's why he was so tired out. On board a ship, he fell asleep. Why? He was just physically exhausted. That's what happens. Right? So you learn to identify with the Lord. You labor for the Lord. You serve the Lord. You work hard for the Lord. You don't resent it. You accept it. You embrace it. And you say, Lord, I am identifying with you. See, this is all part of learning to trust. All part of learning to be the rock. Learning what it means to be a fortress. The Lord himself said to Jeremiah, I will make you a fortress. You learn how to be strong against all of these things here. So that's a part of trust. So when you memorize the Lord's word, the word of God becomes a part of you. It becomes part of your mindset. It becomes part of the way you think, part of the way you feel, part of the way you respond and react to all things. And that was something that I had to learn all over again. So in order to prepare for the series of messages from the Gospel of John, I literally reread the whole Gospel of John a couple of times. You have to immerse yourself into John's Gospel all over again just to soak in what it means for the Lord to say, I am the living bread. I am the bread that came from heaven. I came to give life. He is the light of the world, and so on and so forth. You literally have to soak it all in. And then you identify with the Lord. And as you do that, that trust becomes very much more real. Right? So then when you pray, I don't pray the way the psalmist prays. That's how you know you have learned. If you pray exactly as a psalmist prays, when he is struggling, that means you are struggling too. Right? So then you look at it and say, okay, this is how the psalmist felt. This is why he struggled. This is why he prayed the way he did. Now, question. Am I in the same stage or have I gone beyond? If I have gone beyond, then I must be able to pray minus all those things where he tells the Lord, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other thing. And then you learn to summarize it to just simply, okay, you are my rock, my fortress. You are my trust from my youth. And then you realize what trust is. Now, in the meantime, the physical health problem continues. In the meantime, the challenge is still there. Right? The problems don't go away. But what has changed is not the externals. What has changed is the internal. You have changed. You are now stronger. You are now calmer. Right? You have now gone through it. You are now better off than ever before. You have learned to find strong refuge in God. You have learned to trust. Now, this is something that you want to work with. So this particular psalm for an older person, that's one, struggling with difficulties, that's true. And they will always be there. The question is how to learn from the psalmist. I identify with him. Okay, I understand where he's coming from, but I don't stay with him. I move off into a trust in the Lord mode. Right? So now I pray differently. I'm saying, okay, I accept this thing here. A good thing about this diarrhea thing is whatever problem, whatever bugs there may be, maybe they all go too, hopefully. You know, bon voyage, and then that's it. You try to get out, emerge stronger, wiser, better, certainly slimmer, if that is any consolation, right? So that is the focus. Then you learn to continue to stay with the Lord. You trust the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. You are calm still before the Lord so that you can say, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. I think that is something that we want to look forward to. Right? So sometimes the circumstances of life are such that they will come and affect us. Unexpectedly, you are not really prepared for this. You look forward to something and things don't turn out the way you think that they would. But you know what? You become unfazed. You are still normal, you are still able to cope, and you are still looking at life. And so he says, his prayer was, Lord, until, now this is very important, until I tell the next generation, your strength, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. But that's towards the end of the psalm. All right? So what is it that I want to share and declare? Well, there is the power of the Lord. There is the strength of the Lord. There is the promise of the Lord that is kept again. And we have to learn to trust the Lord for all of these things here. Sometimes it's not COVID. Sometimes it's a diarrhea problem. You know, it's entirely unexpected. But you can't be prepared for all kinds of things. You'll never be able to. But the real challenge is to be able to trust the Lord for all things. And that's not an easy thing to be able to do. But that is our challenge, isn't it? Right? As we grow older, you begin to realize that it's something that we all need to cope with. Right, so let us not, at the slightest sign of somebody not so well, straight away you fear COVID. You know, after a while, our reactions are almost there. Must be COVID. Not necessarily. And even if it is COVID, so what? Well, this is my present approach right now. I am not afraid of COVID. I'm still COVID-free. You don't need to stay touch wood. Don't do things like that. You just go down there and this is how it must be. It must be something that we are not afraid of because we've learned to trust. We've gone beyond our fears. We've gone beyond our problems. We look at the Lord and say, you know what? The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress in whom I will trust. Not an easy task. So sometimes the Lord has to allow us to go through all of these things. And I always ask myself, well, Lord, what is it you are teaching me through this process? There's always some deeper lesson I must discover along the way. Right? So that's what it is. So we are going to be praying for Hui Li's brother's situation. He will probably have to go through surgery in order to solve this problem. And we just have to look at all the challenges which are there and then to trust the Lord for all things. Well, may our faith and our trust in God deepen along the way. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy that we can have reading your word. Thank you for the reality of trust in you. Help us to look forward very much to growing our faith and our trust in you further. And we pray that you will teach us how to exercise faith and trust amidst all kinds of problems and difficulties that we face in our life. Help us in our own way to learn how to cope so that you will be truly our rock, our fortress, our refuge, and we may resort to you continually. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.